Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk. I hope he's there. I'm not sure. I might have. Are you there, Alfred?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're here? Did you go away for a moment?
You put me on hold.
Ah, I didn't do that. The computer did that.
I hate it. You put me on hold, and I didn't think, so I thought the smartest thing to do, I couldn't get it off hold, so okay, I'll disconnect, and then Melody will call me back.
Yeah, I did. And I was multitasking. Uh-huh. Anyway, I'm here with Alfred Adisk to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, September 23rd, 2013. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. And if anyone would like to call in this afternoon, if you have any questions on any of the topics that we're discussing today, our call-in number, 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Let's get right to the markets today. We have gold. Oh, it tried. It did try. Tried really hard. It's down $2.90 today at $13.23. Yes, silver down 16 cents today at $21.74. Platinum down 11 at $14.26. Palladium down $5 at $718. There's still great buying opportunities, folks. You had the USDX today just basically unchanged for the day, 80.44. Crude oil continues to be battered down 1.31 at 103.44. Paper markets today, a little bit of pressure on them, on those. Let's get to those numbers right here. You have, and supposedly it's going to be all about the budget battle and Congress coming up. And it is amazing. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. The Dow was down 49 points today at 15,401. The NASDAQ was down 10 points at 3765, along with the S&P down 8 at 1701. The 10-year yield today, it's still hovering around 270, 2.71, down 0.02. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give Discount Gold and Silver Trading a call at 1-800-375-4188. That was a great special that we ran on Friday. I mean, when you're talking about $1,695 along with over $100 of value in books, in two fantastic books, some of you took advantage of it, and I was a little surprised at that we did sell as few of those as we did, but because normally our specials here at Discount Gold and Silver, they're always, I mean, we always get so many. We usually sell so many of those specials, and so it must have just been a quiet day on Friday. But we'll still offer that to you. Just give us a call. Good afternoon, Alfred.
I'm Aldi. Another interesting day. You're caught multitasking. Do you know what multitasking means? Women are famous for being able to multitask, and men can't.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
I can't
Do you know
help
what it
you're
means,
not,
though?
I can't help you. No, I can only imagine what it means. Is it?
Would you like to guess, or shall I tell you?
Are you sure you can say it on radio?
I absolutely can say it on radio. Doesn't mean they'll allow us on the air. They may shut us off right away, but I can say it. And by the time they hear it, it who knows what will happen after that. All it means is that women can mess two things up in the same amount of time that a man can mess one thing up. That's what multitasking means.
Well, what I believe, we have actually become, we have perfected the art of driving. Because...
yeah, you and the Asians.
Women can now drive and talk on their cell phones better than any man can. Because we multitask with driving and putting on makeup, we just replace makeup with cell phones.
So. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you're going to change your mind about that because you're going to be going into the wreck without your face on. And there are going to be a lot of women that say, oh, my gosh, I don't have my face. I just wrecked. That'll take a lot of people off the cell phones.
Did you ever notice a man in a cell phone driving? It's terrible. They're awful. They're all over the – they actually slow down way below this. It is amazing. So, folks, if you're out there driving around, look at men on cell phones, and you'll see
I don't think it's see, the problem with the men on the cell phone is not – it's not a matter of talking. It's a question of content. You got those cell phones now where you can actually zoom in. You can get images on the cell phone. You understand? Not just conversation, and I'm not going to talk about what these images might be. Understand? This is a family program, so we're not going to talk about that, but I think that may have something
I don't know, but we need to move on. The age-old debate. Men are on Mars, and or whatever that one is.
No, we're just trying to get to Mars. We're not there. We're trying to get there. That's all. Little peace and quiet, you know?
I want to make it an announcement.
Go ahead.
I'm ready. We have a new office mascot here at Discount Gold and Silver. A new little girl. And I don't have a name for her yet. Perhaps I should have waited until I had a name for her. But a new addition to Discount Gold and Silver. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to be a little more specific. People are going to think that you've adopted a child or something.
Well, in a way I did, but it's a little puppy. It's a Welsh Terrier. We lost the previous mascot of 15 years. But so we included a new little girl. A Welsh Terrier. She's 8 weeks old, almost nine, and we're very excited to have her here. She's adjusting very well to the office and has helped with shipping and everything already. So,
Does she lick the stamps or the tape or anything like that? Is that what she's doing?
She's trying to. So,
you better be careful about that. They're going to have the SPCA will be coming out there.
She won't be able to bark. Her tongue will stick. Anyway. So, moving right along.
See, and I thought I was the mascot. Melody, I don't know. I've been replaced by a dog? Is that what's happened now?
We'll keep you around for a while, too.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's...
Since we're making announcements, why don't we make an announcement for... we have David Krieger joining, and we'll do this one more time later on in the program, but we have David Krieger joining us tomorrow. He's one of our wholesalers here at Discount Gold and Silver, and he's been on the program several times. And he just brings a different view and information on some various sectors of the gold. And many of the listeners, I get lots of calls. People seem to really enjoy David Krieger. So he will be joining us tomorrow. And then, Alfred, you have someone on Wednesday.
Charles Torello will be on the program. Charles has written a book recently that deals with the University of Texas Longhorn football team. All right. Now, and he's got some interesting allegations, and he's talking about how much money is involved and who's getting paid and some other things like that. And Charles has a background. I've known Charles for, oh, I don't know, probably 20 years. And I first met him. His dad is a good friend of mine. We go out for lunch a couple times a month. I see his dad. And Charles came over to the house back when he was a teenager in high school, and he was kind of a fat kid, and he had long hair. Right? And he was playing football. Well, he went to Rice University here in Texas, and he was a walk-on, tried out for the football team, and he made the team. Right? And he was twice All-American. And he's been a tutor for students at the college level at the University of Texas, and he understands what's going on in college football. And there are financial implications that will involve not only the Longhorns, but teams across the country, and it may be of interest to people. Charles is an interesting guy, and like I say, he's not a little guy. Charles is about 240 pounds. He's a big boy, you understand? And he's muscle. And he is a dangerous-looking individual. We'll even, while we do the program, I'll tell you about the time Charles was there when I was interviewed at 60 Minutes. And all he was doing was helping me move some furniture. But he came along. They thought he was my bodyguard. All right? They were concerned that they even thought he was armed, which he was not. And he didn't even hardly want to be there. He was just helping move furniture. Kind of an interesting story. Charles Torello, in any case, will be here on Wednesday. And we hope you'll tune in at that time.
Well, you know, Al, not to go on too much further in this, but there were several college teams this weekend who wore, I don't know, patches or armbands because of the lack of services that are provided. Now, I'm a firm believer that you don't, and we'll save this. You can save this for Wednesday's program. You know, kids are going to school to get an education. They get scholarships to play a game to help them through school. That's what it used to be about until they started making millions and millions and millions of dollars on it. But these kids were, and I don't remember what schools they were from, but they were wearing some sort of arm patch or armband. I mean, but they don't get a lot of their medical care is not paid for. There's a lot of things that they don't get taken care of to where they should. And so it should prove to be an interesting
Well, that's going to be interesting because there are a lot of implications, and depending on what happens, Charles is advocating that the students should be paid. The student athletes should be paid.
I kind of disagree, but...
Well, it's one of the things, it's a controversial issue, and it's the sort of thing where, on the one hand, you can see the fairness in it. These kids are working. I mean, this is not just a matter of... If you're putting the same amount of time in that you put in to play football and practice for football if you spent the same amount of time delivering pizzas or working in a restaurant as a waiter or waitress, whatever, you'd be paid for it. Now, I know they're getting a scholarship, but there's a question here. There's millions of dollars rolling around. And
well, just like anything,
saying these kids are entitled to a share, and some people say, no, it'll change the nature of football, and it will. I mean, if you start paying them, the whole thing, a lot of things are at stake here. And you've got to weigh a question of economic fairness against a question of consequences that will adversely or certainly affect the sport, maybe adversely, maybe not. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday, and we'll see where it goes.
It's interesting. It would be interesting to see how, and I don't know if he knows this, is where all those millions of dollars go.
Does
it go right back? You know, how much does it go back into pockets? You know, in people's pockets, and how much corruption is involved.
There's other things. A lot. I don't know that Charles is going to allege corruption per se, but there's a lot of that money that comes in, and the money that is made by the football players is ultimately being used to subsidize people that are playing squash, or perhaps they're in the fencing team. They don't draw a crowd. They don't make enough money to actually support the team. So it may be that the football team is supporting other teams. You know, and then you get into a question of how much is a football player worth, and is it whatever you can get? Or do we have a certain minimum wage that we pay all the football players and all the girls on synchronized swimming and everybody there? Should every athlete get paid the same wage? There's a bunch of interesting questions here.
And you know what? And it is okay to watch football and to be involved. But you, as long as you know what else is going on in the world, there's so many different distractions, and I think so many of them are created as distractions. And it's,
well, it's okay to watch football.
It's okay to watch football.
Watch while you're driving.
As long as you listen to financial.
To watch while you're driving. You
and as long as you listen to Financial Survival and you know what's going on and you take things seriously and you prepare for things. And there's another, since we're just really kind of just talking this Monday morning for the first segment, we'll be talking about other things after the first break. But this weekend, visiting with some folks in Atlanta, I was telling Alfred, they'd asked me what I did for a living, and I told them, and they says, well, we were told that gold is not a good investment. So I just kind of sidestepped it, and I just didn't want to go there. But couple statements later, it was, the gentleman mentioned to me a little later on, he said, I knew that if Obama would be elected, he would bankrupt this country. And my only comment was, wouldn't you think gold would be a good investment at that point in time? Al, folks are not making the connection. They're not connecting the dots. And they get so much, they have so much, these financial planners have so much influence.
Well, it's not just that. It's like anything else. I mean, you know, realistically, we are here to try to sell some gold. All right, so we've got our own agenda here, and there's no question. Folks have to I understand,
yeah, it's a
but people
different.
Have to presume that they have to presume that, and they have to use that to gauge what we're saying. But they have to use it to gauge what other people say too. And what I mean is, if someone tells you that gold is not a good investment, well, ask them what they're selling. I mean, it's a man who's selling stocks or bonds or some other paper. Investment, they are the ones who will frequently say, oh, gold, that's not a good investment. Well, you know, then you have to weigh that. And you got to say, well, look, is this guy telling us what he believes sincerely, or is he just making a sales pitch? And these are the kinds of questions that people have to consider.
And speaking of questions, we do have questions coming in. We can probably get to this now. What is the connection? We're going to jump off base here. What is the connection between Kenya and Israel, since Israel sent into Kenya special forces to free the hostages at the mall, which was attacked by the jihadists?
I've heard, I don't know, I don't have a real good answer for that, but what I've heard and understood is that Kenya is a client state for Israel. You know, just as the United States has certain countries that we have preferred trade agreements with and whatever. We have some countries that we get along with better than others. We have some countries that let's consider South Korea. We have essentially guaranteed to protect South Korea from an invasion by North Korea. They are our client state to some degree. Israel has its own client states in a similar sense, and they, whatever their basis, the basis is for their agreements, they have made agreements with Kenya that they will take a special interest in Kenyan politics and whatever's going on down there, and endeavor to protect as best they can whatever's happening in Kenya. And I'm sure they are using Kenya as a base where they can discover what's happening in other parts of Africa. They're using it as an intelligence center. Just a guess. I don't know that to be true, but it would be surprising if it wasn't. So this is the foundation. They have connections with Kenya that predate the massacre that's taken place down there. And they get tied up the same way we do. It's not necessarily true that Israel is saying, oh, goody, let's go spend our money and our arms or whatever on Kenya. It may be that they have previous commitments, and now those commitments are coming due. They're getting caught on them, and some of them are saying, oh, my gosh, why can't we just take care of our own problems? Let Kenya worry about Kenya, and we'll take care of Israel. And from my perspective, I'd say much the same about the United States. Why don't we just take care of our problems and keep our snoot out of everybody else's affairs? Well, I guess that was... I guess I can hear Frank on the piano. A lot of you people didn't know that Frank is a piano player, and he plays the piano music for our segues in the program. That's not true, but we'll say it is. In any case, we're going to take a break. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back in a moment with Frank the Piano Player. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on financial survival. And Melody, what's next?
I just want to remind the listeners to go to our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. We also have specials attached to those on a, for the most part, almost every week, a great deal. So you can sign up for that. And we have another question coming in, Alfred. The Federal Reserve's decision, this is according to Money News, the Federal Reserve's decision to delay tapering its quantitative easing will bring back the bull market for gold, some experts maintain. The two-year bear market for gold is over, and the uptrend is going to resume, and that was said by Peter Bakvar, chief market analyst at the Lindsay Group, and he was being interviewed by CNBC.
Okay, I didn't hear a question there per se, but
he just wanted your comments. That is correct.
Well, I agree with him. I mean, basically, I agree with that from this perspective. Gold is going up, up, and up because it reflects the value of the fiat dollar, which inevitably must go down. I don't care how you calculate this. All fiat currencies lose value over time. The fiat dollar has already lost 97-98% of its value as in relation to gold since 1971, thereabouts. There is no reason to believe that this problem will not continue. The fiat dollar will continue to lose value, and not by accident. It'll lose value, in my opinion, because the government wants it to lose value. You know, the Federal Reserve sits back and say their job is to, they have two jobs. One, maintain full employment, and the other one is to maintain stable prices. Those are the two jobs that they're tasked by law to attempt to achieve. In turn, how do you maintain stable prices? It means the price of gold is the same today as it was yesterday, as it was a year ago, as it was 5 years ago. It means the price of eggs are the same today as it was yesterday, as it was 5 years ago. We know for a fact that prices are in a constant state of flux. They are constantly, almost constantly, rising. All right? We know that the Federal Reserve has set a target rate of 2% per year inflation. 2% per year means prices are not going to be stable. Prices will change a minimum of 2% a year due to the Federal Reserve's own inflationary policies. They want it. And what the truth of the matter is, the Fed does not want price stability. They want inflation stability. They'll talk in some places that they fight inflation. They don't fight inflation. They cause it. And one of the reasons, primary reason from my perspective, is that inflation allows the government to pay off its debt with cheaper dollars. Government's the biggest debtor in the world. Huh? It owes trillions of dollars. If the dollars are inflated, they can borrow $1 billion from some source today, and by the time they pay it off, they may only wind up paying off a couple hundred million. They can save millions and millions of dollars thanks to inflation. They will still pay off. They borrow $1 billion, they'll pay $1 billion. But the purchasing power, by the time they pay that billion back, may only be $900 million. They effectively cut the size of the national debt by means of inflation. They want inflation. So from my perspective, the last 2 years have been an almost incomprehensible aberration. The fact that we've had anything like a bear market in gold for those 2 years is almost inconceivable to me, and yet we've had it. It doesn't make good sense to me. I think it's a fault of manipulation. They had other fish they wanted to fry. They had reasons they wanted to do it. I think the gold's been intentionally suppressed, but I agree. I agree with the report that came in by email that the bull market is going to resume. And those of you who see it, it's another one of those things, buy low, sell high. You know, now is as low as you are likely to see the price of gold in the balance of your lifetime. Now is the time to buy. Now is a time to buy. There'll be another time to buy, which will be a year from now, but you'll wish you'd bought today. Now you say, gee, I could have bought gold when it was 1325. What was I thinking about? You know, we talk about it all the time. You'll see it. And you'll be saying, oh, my gosh, I could have done it. I could have, would have, should have. Yeah, you could have. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Pull the trigger. Get out there and get some gold. Buy some more gold.
This
won't hurt you. You should profit from it. It'll protect you in a worst-case scenario. It's really a wonderful investment. I saw someone, and we've got some of the text from one of the articles. We may not get to it today, but they were criticizing gold, and they said, you can't eat gold. People are going to find out that you can't eat gold. Well, that's true. You can't. You can't eat gold. But you can't eat stocks either, can you? And you can't eat bonds, and you won't be able to eat fiat currency. All right? But what you can do in a worst-case scenario is you can buy food with gold. And you're not going to be able to buy food with stocks. You're not going to be able to buy food with bonds. You may not be able to buy food with our fiat dollars and fiat, you know, dimes, quarters, and half dollars. If you want food, you're not growing your own, and you think you can buy some, you're going to probably have to produce some gold or silver if that's what you want to do. None of you can't eat any of the investments people are likely to mention unless you want to invest in coconuts, you know, or maybe a ton of wheat or something. We can dump it in your basement. You can keep a ton of wheat down there. You can invest in certain commodities that are edible, but in terms of financial instruments, gold is the only one that is likely to still function in a worst-case scenario, gold and silver.
Here's another question that came in from Richard. He says, who are the dummies playing against the paper gold cartel? Don't they know it's rigged? Must like to throw money away?
Well, I'm not sure. Did he actually say playing against?
Yeah, playing against the paper gold cartel.
Well, the implication of his question, if I'm understanding correctly, and if he wrote it the way he really meant it, the implication is that he thinks that the paper cartel can't be beat and that it's foolish to support the price of physical gold because paper gold is so much more important, dominant, and so on. If he didn't miswrite his question, that appears to be the gist of his comment or fundamental of his comment. And I'm just going to say, my perspective is that you cannot sell 90 to 100 ounces of paper gold for every ounce of physical gold that's being sold. And that's apparently what's taking place on the gold markets. You can't continue to do that and sustain it. Sooner or later, that paper has to blow up in your face. It's a lie. It's a fraud. It's like me not merely selling the Brooklyn Bridge, but selling a dozen or 20 or 50 or 100 titles to the Brooklyn Bridge. Sooner or later, all those people are going to find out that they don't really have a Brooklyn Bridge. All they've got is a piece of paper. When they figure that out, they're going to say, oh my gosh, I've been hustled, I've been conned, I've been defrauded. The implication of the comment that you read to me is that he thinks the paper market can be sustained indefinitely. I disagree with that. I believe that the paper market has to self-destruct. They always do. Every time we've had fiat currencies, they always self-destruct. I don't see that anything's different this time. So I would disagree with what I think is, I don't think people are foolish to resist the power of the paper market. I think instead it's just a question of looking down the road and realizing the day is coming when physical will be recognized as worth multiples of these paper gold investments. Now, if you got real gold in your hand, you got something. Got paper gold in your hand, you got nothing but a promise that can't be kept. There's not enough gold out there to pay for all those paper promises in the paper gold. They can't be kept if you're holding it, if you're investing in paper gold. Absolute fact, they can't. There's not enough gold to back them all up. Some of the people holding those pieces of paper are going to lose their assets. Those people who are holding gold coins in their hands are not, will not be among them. You can hang on to your gold. You're going to be in good shape.
I think this is going to be one of the biggest scandals ever. I mean, I thought the rate scandal should have been the biggest situation ever to happen. I mean, it still, to me, boggles the mind that you have governments and federal officials, Timmy Geithner, all knowing that all these rates were being rigged and manipulated that affected so many local governments around the world. And it's like they get a few fines and blah, 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 that's it. But I think the gold scandal, I think it will beat that, and it will be something that they won't be able to. There's just not going to be a few fines produced and paid for. I think it'll be a lot greater than that.
Well, I hope so, because it's an enormous fraud, and it is perpetrated for the purpose of robbing people. This isn't just government saying, well, this was good social policy. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It is part of the reason we're in this incredible problem we're in right now, where we have more debt than we can ever repay. The reason we have this enormous national debt, this enormous unpayable national debt, is precisely because we severed the link between our currency and gold and or silver. And when we did that, we could start writing checks. It's like me having a checking account where no one ever cashes the checks. Huh? I can just write a check. Okay, I'm going to write a check for $100. No, I'm going to write one for $1,000. No, I'm going to write one for $1,000,000. No, I'm going to write one for $1 billion. Why not? No one ever cashes the checks. There's no reality to it. It's the same thing with a currency that is not backed by something substantial like gold or silver. As soon as you allow yourself to be subject to a purely fiat currency that's paper or digital, then the people in a position to spin that can get fabulously rich. Just like me writing checks. I can write a check for $1 billion. No, I'll write it for $1 trillion. No, I'll write it for $1 quadrillion. I can write a check for $1 quadrillion. I can be fabulously rich and all I got to do is sign my name. That's essentially what's happening with fiat currency. When we have gold and silver backing, I can't just write that check. There actually has to be some money in the bank to back the check. And that means I can't write a quadrillion-dollar check or $100 trillion check or $1 billion check and so on down back down the line. I'm back to real world. Same thing. When government is, we have that gold and silver backing, government is caught by reality. It can't just spend the money out of thin air. And when it can't do that, it can't grow to extraordinary size. We can't even have a police state without fiat currency. Government gets off our back. All we have to do, and it's in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debts. Mandatory, we have it, and the government is violating the Constitution. And nobody minds, nobody says anything, but I guarantee you're going to. Day is coming when people are saying, what the heck is this? You mean the Constitution, they're supposed to use gold and silver coin for our current? Well, yeah. And they haven't been doing, how long has this been going on? Well, it's been going on completely since 1971. Started up in 1933. We're going to pay a price for this stupidity. And the only people who are not going to pay dearly for this stupidity are the ones that are smart enough to get away from the paper and grab some gold and silver now while they can. Huh? The rest of them are going to find out their paper is worthless or largely worthless, and they are going to be deeply, you know, injured, concerned, angry, saddened, frustrated, furious.
Well, the mindset, Al, is, hey, as long as it's accepted, I don't have to worry about it. As long as I can go and take my dollar, as worthless as it is, as people tell me it is, I can still go buy that 99-cent trinket from China.
It's true.
Yep.
And we've talked about it on the program in the past, the idea that the people who become fabulously wealthy in this world, you can measure the time frame that people think, they use for their thinking, and you can calculate from the poor people on up to the super rich people, and the super rich are thinking in terms of generations. And the poor people are thinking about lunch. That's as far as ahead as they think. What's next? What's for dinner? What's for dinner tonight? Not even what's for dinner a week from now, a month from now, certainly not a year from now. The rich, as you move up the spectrum, on average, the wealthy people are thinking in terms of what's good for my grandchildren. Not what is a good economic move right now for me, but they've got that time frame. They take a long view. When we talk about people who simply look at the dollar and say, hey, it spends right now. Well, yeah, it does. But will it still be spending a month from now, a year from now, 5 years from now? And the answer becomes, it's increasingly probable that it will not spend. And even if it does, it will be worth only a fraction of what it is today. Flip side, take a little longer view. All of a sudden you start thinking, hey, wait a second. Gold works on a long-term basis, doesn't it? In fact, it's been working for thousands of years.
But Al, the other thing is, that's not going to happen here. They brought the stock market back from 6,000 to 15,000. That's what people think. That's how they view things. And you're right. They're thinking short-term.
And what is, and they brought it back to 15,000 or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
But when was the last time it was 15,000 previously?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm asking. Do you know offhand?
Well, before the crash.
Well, then we're talking it's been 5 years, 6 years since it's been 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly. All right. Now it's 15,000 again.
14,700, yeah.
Well, what is the value of the dollar today as compared to what it was back the last time it was 15,000 on the market? And the answer is the dollar is diminished. And the truth of the matter is, in terms of inflated dollars, the market today is, who knows, you don't get a calculator and figure it out. It's not 15,000. If we calculate in terms of dollars then and dollars now, we're talking about what? Maybe 12,000? I don't know. On inflation-adjusted dollars, if you can apply that to the Dow Jones and so on, New York Stock Exchange, it's complex. And it's sometimes confusing, but, you know, simplest thing you can do, get an ounce of gold, hold it in your hand. Get another ounce, you know, stick it under the bed. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What do we got next, Melody?
We have a question. And who is orchestrating the killings of Christians in countries such as Syria, Pakistan, Iraq, Libya? And where is the vocal outrage of the West about these actions done by terrorists?
Well, the Muslims, of course, are the ones that are behind this. Ultimately, and I'm not saying all Muslims, but I'm saying at least the radical Muslims, they're the ones that are doing this. They, you know, you've got holy war going on here. And the Muslims understand that, and American people don't. They think we're just involved in a conventional shoot 'em up, secular war, and whoever wins gets the cash and the girl. That's not what's going on here. You're engaged in holy war here, ladies and gentlemen, and you're not going to beat holy warriors, people that are motivated by their faith. You're not going to beat them by fighting on secular terms. You know, the Muslims are a long ways from anything like invulnerable. Their faith gives them enormous power because they become fearless based on their faith. They don't care if they die. They're happy to be martyred. They believe that's going to send them up. Being martyred for their faith is going to send them up, guarantee them a trip to paradise. So they have enormous, they are implacable, very difficult to deal with. Right? And particularly, if you're secular, if you can't fight holy war, you're going to get your butts kicked by people who are. You can't beat these guys. All you can do is kill them all. And if you can't do that, you're going to lose. Now, but what else can you do? If you're going to fight holy war, you can understand. Black Colonel General, I don't recall if he was a colonel at the time, in the Philippines, back around the 1910, 1914, I don't remember, somewhere around the turn of the century, 1900, and within the next decade or so, he was in charge of fighting an uprising by the Hucks, which was a Muslim group of rebels in the Philippines. And they were difficult, and they were hard to fight, and they were, you know, fierce warriors. And we even invented the 45, the 1911 45. Was invented to deal with these Muslims. You had to have something to knock these guys down because they just kept coming. You shoot them, they just, oh, I've been shot, I got to quit. They kept on coming at you. And so they came up with a 45 to knock them to the ground. Right? It was designed to deal with, but the Hucks kept on coming until General Black Jack Pershing. I believe he was either colonel or general. Again, I don't recall at the time. He became a general. His man, the Pershing missile, was named after him, and so on. He became a famous general and so on. But what he did is they captured something like 20 Hucks under at a particular battle. They lined 19 of them up against a wall, and then they prepared to shoot them. They put one off to the side, and they took the bullets that they were going to use to shoot these Hucks, and they dipped them in pig's blood. And the Muslims can't touch pig. I mean, it's like kryptonite to these people. And they dipped all the bullets. He made sure that the one Muslim who was not lined up against the wall, he got to see that all the bullets were dipped in pig's blood. Then they built a trough. They shot all of these guys with bullets dipped in pig's blood. They shot them. They killed them. Then they took their bodies and dumped them in a trench full of pig guts, pig entrails, dead pigs. And they let the one guy go. And the Huck uprising ended right then. Because the Muslims believe that if they are contaminated with pig, they're not going to paradise. The same holy spirit, the holy war that they were waging that gave them great force, also created great liability. The same thing is true today, if anyone bothered to do it. If we really wanted the Muslims to pull in their horns, all you got to do is create bullets, hollow core bullets, right? We already do it. Just fill a little hollow core up, fill it up with some dried pig's blood. Let the Muslims understand that if you die with this bullet inside you, you're going to die with pig's blood inside you, and you are not going to paradise. What's going to happen? The Muslims are going home. We could devise bombs that don't spread shrapnel, that spread pig. I guarantee you the Muslims will stop. But if you're not going to fight holy war, if you are not going to recognize holy war and fight on a spiritual basis, you're not going to defeat these people. You're not even going to slow them down. Got a comment, Melody?
No, I don't. I know, that's rare. No, I don't. And I think it's difficult to, I think, for a lot of folks to understand when it's such a touchy situation, because there has been such a, you know, the old divide and conquer, and people have been driven, and they don't do research and try to understand, and it's difficult to understand.
It's actually not. It's not all that hard, but it's different. It's different from what we've been taught.
Let's finish. Taught, and what people hear on mainstream media. And they get influenced, and it's,
of course,
it's difficult to, because what they might hear, they might call it all sorts of names instead of just what it is, and that it is a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. And it's so much more.
See, our government doesn't want to get involved in spiritual warfare. They don't want to engage in holy warfare, because if they do, people are going to begin to discover and even revere the spiritual foundation on which this country was built. Government wants to fight secular wars. It's about our financial interests in the Middle East. It's about oil. It's about anything. It's not about God, though. Whatever it is, it's not spiritual warfare. It's not about God. They don't want to touch that because they don't want people to understand the spiritual foundation this country began on. They want us to just believe we're involved in economic issues. That's all we're doing. Might even be some racial issues, but not spiritual, whatever it is. This country started with the Declaration of Independence, which made the extraordinary declaration that all men are created equal. It said we hold these truths to be self-evident. These are the premises on which the nation was built. All men are created equal, that they are all endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is the spiritual cornerstone on which this country was built, and no other nation has ever begun with that spiritual foundation, with the possible exception of the Hebrews. They had something like that in the Old Testament before they went to kings. And then they had a new law form. They started out where all the Hebrews, at least, were directly under God. They didn't think the rest of everybody, they thought everyone else were goy, they were animals, they were not directly under God. But the Hebrews started with that premise, but eventually they said, no, we want a king. We want a new law form. We don't want to be directly under God. Americans have done something similar. They haven't understood it. They haven't known it and recognized it. But we have abandoned our spiritual foundation. We've lost. It's not just where we've turned our backs on it. We don't even remember it. You try to explain it to people and they look at you as if you're speaking in tongues. It's a spiritual foundation. What are you talking about? Again, that Declaration of Independence says, first, we get all of us get our rights from God. And second, in the third sentence, it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And what they mean is that to secure what rights? The rights we receive from God. It was the fundamental business of government as envisioned by the Founding Fathers. We have lost knowledge of that principle. We've lost memory of it. And now you tell people and say, what the heck are you talking about? I believe that our government doesn't want to face the fact that we are engaged in holy war with the Muslims. They're engaged in holy war with us. They know what they're doing. Our government doesn't want us to talk about holy war because it doesn't want the American people to spot that foundation, that spiritual foundation. We can handle these people. This isn't a problem. Muslims aren't going to overwhelm us unless, at least not if we find our own spiritual foundation. As long as it remains obscure, we're in big trouble. Grab it, and we are back on track, headed for glory. All right?
Here's a comment that came in, a stone monument of the Ten Commandments that sits on a street behind the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, and it was the subject of controversy in this past day, I believe. It has been toppled by vandals.
Vandals or liberals, we don't know. Yeah. Vandals sounds like young punks. Liberals, that's something else. I think it was probably Nancy Pelosi. I think she probably came out there on Sunday, and who knows.
Did you listen to her on Sunday yesterday, Al?
No, I haven't heard her, but I've heard of her. I've heard she's complaining that the Republicans are legislative arsonists or something along that line because they're threatening to shut down the government. And she's complaining they're behaving in a way that's juvenile and irresponsible. And I'm just curious. This is interesting coming from a woman who said, we have to vote for Obamacare, and then you can get a copy of it, read it, and find out what's in it. I mean, where is the responsibility in that? All right? Good God. And what is astonishing is it worked. This is like a mother talking to a bunch of six-year-old kids and saying, now you all got to be quiet and take your nap, and then we'll get some graham crackers and cookies. Right? And the kids buy it. They think there's some sort of cause and effect relationship. Why did the kids in Congress even go along with the idea that they couldn't read the bill before they voted for it? It is disturbing. It's hilarious. It's, you know, it's tragic. It's horrific. I've talked about it on the program in the past, but mentioned again. What is the essence of every law? When there's ever a question, it comes to the Supreme Court, and they say, does this law mean A or does it mean B? The language is ambiguous. It might mean A, it might mean B. What did Congress meant when they wrote this particular phrase, this particular sentence in the law? And the Supreme Court will then go to investigate. If it's not clear one way or another, it is ambiguous, they will go back into the records, the legislative records from the Congress, and they will endeavor to discover the congressional intent. And they'll read committee They will read the minutes of the committees. They'll read documents that were passed back and forth, and they will try to discern what was the legislative intent when they wrote a particular sentence that turns out to be ambiguous, and hard to understand today, for sure, hard to understand clearly today. What was their intent? The intent, the Supreme Court understands that congressional intent is the essence of the law. Now, what was the intent? What was the congressional intent for the law we've come to call Obamacare if no one even read it before they voted for it? There is no intent. There is no intent in Obamacare. There's no legislative intent. Grief. And Congress just goes along with it. Nobody objected, to my knowledge. Not one congressman objected and said, wait a second, lady, I'm not voting for anything that I haven't at least seen.
Well, you know, Al, she was invited, and I believe she attended George Soros's wedding this week. the writer wants to know if you went.
No, I wasn't there. I meant to go, but I had to. I picked up a little trinket I bought from China, and I put it in the mail for Mr. and Mrs. Soros, and I'm sure to get a thank you note here in the next day or two.
Yeah, I guess he's 83 and she's 42. I don't get. We should probably move on.
Hope beats eternal in the human breast, or the hope that beats eternal about the human breast. It depends on your perspective, but nevertheless, the hope that beats eternal. Good. He's into a situation like that guy that married Anna Marie Smith?
No. Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember. But in any case, we have another made-for-TV drama coming right now, being written on the pages of the mainstream news.
But he had quite a few guests there, World Bank president. They also had, from the U.S., the hedge fund world, Paul Tudor Jones, Julian Robertson. He had minority leader of the House U.S., the Representative Nancy Pelosi, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom of California. He probably just invited Democrats, but anyway. Congratulations, Mr. Summer, to the happy couple.
Yeah, congratulations to the happy couple. Yeah, I can see. He may not believe in gold, but I see what he believes in.
Anyway, I think we're just about out of time, Alfred.
We're not. We got a minute.
1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver. We got great prices on all our products. We'd be more than happy to match or beat any legitimate price. It's just not something folks can pull out of their hat, but if it's a legitimate price, we'd be more than happy to match it. Remember, folks, a lot of the proceeds go back into the programs. Not only do we support this program, I do believe in education. I do believe people need to know what's going on around you. And, of course, we support many programs and stations. We support Dr. Stanley Monteith, Raleigh James, Lori Roth, and Rick Bolrath. He does a Remnant Ministries program. So, and of course, we still support the International Forecaster. So we're on many stations around this country and around the world. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Let us earn your business, please.
Okay, and, folks, we're out of time, Melody.
All right.
All right. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, and good Lord bless you, me, Melody. Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.